This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or tryzona.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, where we answer your questions. Your questions come to us via radio program at AOL.com. And we're answering a question about dealing with osteopenia. And we gave quite a lot of answers in part one, but I want to offer a suggestion that I think a lot of people are not thinking about, which is vibrating plates. We were talking about vibrating plates, and I've come across one that I think is really the best of the genre, because there are a lot of vibrating plates out there, and some of them shake you like, it's basically like a bucking bronco, you know, kind of thing. And that's not good, because it tends to, maybe it's good for super well-trained athletes or something to help them develop balance. If you're like a running back for the Dallas Cowboys or something like that, maybe that'll help you. But those aren't so much designed for osteoporosis. What they did is they did a series of experiments in the 70s and 80s where they took sheep and they hysterectomized them. Sheep that are hysterectomized, just like human females, develop osteoporosis without hormone replacement. So they then put them on vibrating platforms at Stony Brook. This is partially underwritten by NASA because astronauts in space are weightless, and they tend to lose bone dramatically, like really tremendous bone loss. And some of them are now spending up to like a year in space, and then if you have like Mars travel or, you know, it's going to be impractical if there's no way to address osteoporosis. So NASA invested some money. I think there were some other underwriters from the state, New York State, because I thought it was, you know, helping the research community and, you know, they like to support research. And they came up with exactly the right frequencies that tended to support bone. And it wasn't random. There were certain specific frequencies that really work. Frequencies and intensities too, because, you know, when you deliver vibration, you modulate the frequency, how many cycles per second. Like a dentist drill is like thousands of cycles per second. It's a vibrating thing. But this is like more like hundreds, you know, of cycles per second. So you feel you get in one of these plates and you feel a gentle vibration. The company that really has the best technology is something called Juvent, J-U-V-E-N-T. And you can find out about them at juvent.com. Of all the ones that I've tried, it's the one that is most customized to a person. And when you stand on it, it actually takes a few seconds to calibrate your weight and how you stand. You know, when you shift positions, it actually changes the intensity and frequency of the vibration. So you stand on this 20 minutes a day. Yeah, exactly. So you stand on it for 20 minutes a day, and it demonstrably improves bone density. Now, I've just been turned on to this particular unit, and so I don't have a lot of patients that can tell us that they've used it consistently for a year or two and they've seen benefits. But with a prior iteration of a machine that wasn't even as sophisticated, we were having people who were saying, look, I didn't do anything different, but I got dramatic improvements in my bone density. So it's a little different than walking, because walking creates a little bit of concussion and pressure, and standing does, because gravity, you know, has an effect. But it sort of accelerates the effects. And it's also helpful for balance. It's helpful for some patients who have edema of the ankles and legs report resorption of some of the fluid. So it may be helpful for people with medical conditions that are associated with balance problems, especially helpful for people who, say, can't walk or exercise, you know, because all you have to do is stand on the platform. And, you know, what do you do for someone who has bad multiple sclerosis or cystic fibrosis? It was actually tested in kids with, cerebral palsy. It was tested on kids with cerebral palsy, and they can't really walk. But they were put in the vibrating platform, and they were clinical improvement. So nice research on that. I mean, they're
20 minutes a day,
20
Dr.
minutes a day.
Hoffman?
And I'm doing it.
Does it have to be consecutive 20 minutes a day?
What do you mean consecutive? Like you do it
up into 5-minute increments?
You could. Yeah, you can. What
on happens, or off? Or?
Let's say the phone rings or something. You have to get off the unit, you know, or your pot boils over or something. It'll stop, and then
right.
it'll just say you have 14 minutes left. You know, it'll get right back on. Yeah. So it's not
good.
Like it's
yeah. Good.
So that's just another
perspective. And it's Juvent.
J-U-V-E-N-T. Mm-hmm. And I'm not selling wonderful. This. This is not my product. Mm-hmm. You know, just mm-hmm. check it out. They have, it's a pricey thing, but it's worthwhile. And you may want to share it with other family members or, you know, one patient of mine said, I'm going to share it with some of my gal friends. They'll, you know, when we play bridge or something, they'll come over and stand on it. And, we'll kind of team up to get it. Or you can actually lease it for a reasonable amount.
Mm. Wow. Terrific. Lots of options there then.
Yep.
That's great. Okay. Julie, we hope we've answered your question.
Boy, did we answer her question.
Yeah.
We're 33 minutes into our podcast, and that's the only question we've answered.
That's the only question we've answered. Okay. Yep. All right. Let's see here. We've got an email from Michelle. Mm-hmm. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, my question is about oral progesterone. I'm 60 years old in good health thanks to listening to your shows for many years. A big thank you.
Great.
You're welcome, Michelle. But I have insomnia quite a few days a week. I was wondering if you see a problem with taking oral progesterone one or two nights a week, as I don't need it every single night to sleep. I hesitate to use it every night, as I had a problem with hair loss from taking oral progesterone that often. Will it mess up my hormones in any way? Is it all right to use it about twice a week or so?
That's an interesting question, and I don't know her age, but I presume she's past menopause?
60.
Yeah, okay.
She's 60.
So, yeah what happens when you take progesterone either as a cream or as a oral pill?
Yeah.
And the cream is over-the-counter, or we can get a more strong version of it made up to prescription strength. The over-the-counter version is weak. It's made from wild yams, but it does have bioidentical progesterone in it. And if we want more in the cream, we can order more from a compounding pharmacy. The oral pill goes by various names. Prometrium is the most common bioidentical progesterone. You don't want artificial progesterone or progestin, medroxyprogesterone or something like that, because that'll just increase your appetite and make you gain weight and have you retain water. And then you really will lose hair, you know, for sure. Hair loss, once somebody says hair loss, it's going to freak a lot of people out. I don't usually see that, but I guess that's a possibility. It might be, unfortunately, some people say, I took it and I was losing hair, and then correlation is not causation. But I guess, you know, in an abundance of
caution. I wonder if there might be an underlying problem. I'm going to guess here, Dr. Hoffman, but I would urge Michelle to check her ferritin levels.
That too.
For
that
one
too.
Thing.
Yeah.
And to check her thyroid.
Sure, sure. No, that would be good.
Those are two causes of hair loss, as well as cortisol.
Yeah. Yeah, no question.
Hormone.
Exactly. We sometimes want to expand the lens when people have insomnia. But anyway, let's look on the subject of progesterone.
Yeah.
What happens is to a woman who's menstruating is if she takes topical progesterone or oral progesterone, it's more likely that it'll bring on her period earlier. So she may go from, maybe she has a 35-day cycle, she may go to a 20, have a surprise and find that she's 26 days into it, she's already bleeding. Because it causes a sloughing of the endometrium after a while, which is good for some women. Some women have these long, drawn-out cycles, and they say, oh, goodness, I wish I could finally have my period. I feel so bloated and PMS-y. And then you take progesterone. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, it's all over. It's like done. And it can be very helpful for PMS. But it's also progesterone has a neurotransmitter effect, and it's GABAminergic. It works on the GABA pathways in the brain, which is a inhibitory relaxing pathway that, in that sense, it mimics benzodiazepines. so that progesterone, if taken orally at bedtime, can really make you sleep much better. And it's very helpful for women at the time of menopause. And it's not carcinogenic. Progesterone is not something that promotes uterine cancer or breast cancer, except the artificial one may. But the natural progesterone is generally not a problem. And you know, I guess it's okay to take a couple of times a week, you know, as needed.
Yeah.
If it has an effect, if it continues to have an effect.
Yeah. Wow.
What I sometimes like to see, though, is if you take it every night, I mean, you may not need it every night, but it builds up a little in your body and it generally relaxes you, you know, both day and night.
And you have enough.
And then you have enough.
Right.
And actually what I found is sometimes we start women at a much higher dose and then they say, okay, I'm okay. And after a few months, they've built up enough levels that they don't need such high doses anymore.
Yeah.
It tides them over during menopause when they have that onset of insomnia.
Other things that progesterone can be helpful for are women with estrogen dominance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Also very helpful. I mean, when we're talking about cancer or something, especially hormone-related, you know, reproductive cancer, it's normally happening in those more with estrogen dominance than not, is it?
Well, certainly. And, you know, progesterone can be helpful for certain women who have bad PMS, painful breasts, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Michelle, thank you very much for your question. Get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got a question from Deanna. All women today so far.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's, you know, that's sort of our demographic. I'm not saying that there are not a lot of men listening, but women generally are more interested in health and preventive medicine. And
that's
men,
true.
Unfortunately, are in denial more. And, you know,
men don't like to go to the doctor.
It's sort of that machismo kind of thing of, you know, I'll tough it out.
Uh-huh.
You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing, you know.
Right, exactly. Okay, maybe it's all that testosterone that gives them all that kind of confidence.
Yeah.
I wonder. Somebody should do a confidence study on that.
And recklessness, you know.
And recklessness.
good and bad, you know.
Oh, gosh. We have an email from Deanna. 10 years ago, Deanna was diagnosed with prediabetes and has been fighting mightily to forestall type 2 diabetes. Her concern and her question is, what about all those studies that say, some of those studies that say antioxidants can increase your chances of getting cancer, like the one that said folate, taking additional folate, like 1,000 milligrams, may increase risk of uterine cancer.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, there is a controversy there.
Folate is a double-edged sword.
There is a controversy there, and we've discussed it in a recent podcast on the subject of methylation. And so folate is a methyl donor, and methyl donors play a role both in promoting certain things and inhibiting certain things. They act as initiators of some DNA synthesis, as well as they stop DNA synthesis. So there's a sort of a yin-yang of methylation. And so there are certain genes which are cancer promoters, and there are certain genes which are cancer inhibitors. And, you know, certainly you want to support the cancer inhibitors, but you don't want to rev the cancer promoters. There is an ongoing controversy, and it hasn't been resolved, about whether even the folic acid supplementation that we use for grains, you know, bread is now fortified with folic acid. Because it prevents neural tube defects. So that's a terrible problem
that's
been pretty nicely alleviated by folate supplementation in pregnant women and by folic acid supplementation of food. So that's a good thing from a public health standpoint. But then there's some people raise the question, are we, you know, promoting cancer because folate causes cancer cells to proliferate or impairs the defenses against cancer? And the answer is that most studies don't really show that modest amounts of folate create a higher risk of cancer. In fact, probably folate prevents the initiation of cancer, but once you have cancer, yeah. it may fuel it. So, for example, Lise Altshuler, who's a frequent contributor on the cancer subject for us here on Intelligent Medicine, mm-hmm. has a line of products from, I guess it's Integrative. Integrative is the company.
Thrive.
The Pro Thrivers, it's called. The
yeah, Pro Thrivers. Product. Mm-hmm.
And these are multiple vitamins that are designed for cancer patients. And I think she tends to skimp a little bit on the methyl donors, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. So, I know it's aggravating folks to have unresolved controversies, you know, like,
right.
And there are many, you know, how much vitamin D should you take? We know it's important, but some people say, oh no, let's not take so much because people are mega dosing and it's no good. And then there's other people who say that the mega dosing, and we know this, is that mega dosing can be very helpful in certain disease states like multiple sclerosis and rheumatoid arthritis. And, you know, we really want to load that. But, you know, ordinary people, do they need to, mega dose? I mean, these are ongoing controversies in the field of nutrition, and there's a folate controversy that's yet to be worked out.
Right. Deanna's worry is that she's taking additional folate, among other things, because of her high homocysteine levels.
Right, which is a really good reason to take folate, because folate will bring down your homocysteine. But
and a high homocysteine is an independent risk factor for stroke, for cardiovascular disease, for bone fracture, and for dementia.
Absolutely. And so, you know.
So it's almost like you have to weigh out.
There are many risk-benefit equations in medicine.
Yeah.
You know, if you undergo any kind of surgery or undertake any kind of medication, you have to weigh the pros and the cons and decide, you know, what is the benefit. And I know that this is very disconcerting to the public. I mean, it's disconcerting to me as I try to pour through these controversies and try and make the safest, most efficacious recommendations for patients. We'll keep our eye on the research as it comes in and address this from time to time as we learn more.
And, you know, the other most important thing is we all have a unique biochemistry. It all is, at the end of the day, the long and the short of it is it comes down to that person's unique biochemistry, what other conditions they're dealing with, what other matters that need to be taken into consideration, and so forth.
Yeah. No, that's very true.
Yeah. So, like you say, Dr. Hoffman, different strokes for different folks.
Indeed.
Yeah. Deanna, thank you for your question. And by the way, if you were diagnosed with prediabetes 10 years ago, the antidote to that is a low-carb diet. You have a condition of carbohydrate intolerance. If you go on a low-carb diet, you will never get type 2 diabetes. At least not on my watch, you wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah. And thank you for your question.
Indeed.
All right. Let's see. We've got, another woman, Sandy. Sandy writes, do you have any supplement recommendations to take after a total hysterectomy?
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole other topic.
I would take I would take hormone replacement therapy because the problem with a total hysterectomy as opposed to just plain menopause is with menopause, you still end up making some hormones at low levels.
Mm-hmm.
Your ovaries don't produce eggs, but your ovaries still produce some hormones. And in fact, the uterus may play a role in that. So, women who undergo hysterectomy, it's not like, it's like regular menopause. It's more like hitting a brick wall when you're going 60 miles per hour. It's a pretty, dramatic shift in your hormones that can sometimes leave you feeling depressed and exhausted, and, you know, brain dead, memory wise.
Hot flashing.
Hot flashes. And of interest is that, you know, whereas with many women who go through ordinary menopause, we can handle them with just some natural estrogen and progesterone. Many women who have hysterectomies where their ovaries are removed require a little bit of testosterone. And that can be a very tiny amount, you know, like one, maybe 1% or 2% of what men normally have. They may also require DHEA because DHEA is also something that's made by the ovaries.
Right.
And,
wow.
Yeah. So we have to really look out for them. Now, in terms of supplements, you know, I guess we want to support osteoporosis. There's a bit of a prostaglandin dimension to taking out your uterus. And so sometimes that causes a lot of inflammatory stuff to arise, joint stiffness and so on. So we want to use stuff to lubricate the joints, fish oil, vitamin E, curcumin, things like that are often helpful.
I wonder if that kind of hitting a wall, you know, sudden depletion of all those important hormones, how the adrenals may be affected. It may be helpful maybe to address any kind of adrenal stress or something. I mean, don't the adrenal glands secrete some metabolite of progesterone if they're healthy or something?
Yeah, no, they're, you know, it's worth checking that out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Very, very interesting.
And
Sandy,
of course,
this is really a consult more than anything if you've had a hysterectomy.
And it depends, you know, was the hysterectomy for cancer? Then we want sort of secondary measures for cancer prevention. If it was just for, heavy bleeding or fibroids, it's a different story. So sometimes the reason for the hysterectomy gives us a clue. Women who have fibroids, maybe they're, you know, very estrogen dominant. They may have excess body fat, which converts, which tends to produce more estrogen, and they need help along those lines, you know, with diet and weight loss.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Sandy, thank you for your question. Best of luck to you.
Amazingly, we're coming to the end of our allotted time here. So we have to put some of our questions on the back burner, but we had some interesting questions. And we invite you to send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. Reminder, if you another way to get questions to us, you can call us on our program on weekends. And I'll post the number on Facebook. If you follow us on Facebook, you will see the number that you have to call. And if you go to our homepage for drhoffman.com, there's a black rectangle on the right side that you can click on. It'll prompt you to record a question, many of which I read on the air, or I just play on the air, and then I answer the question during my radio program on Saturdays, which you can listen to via your local radio station, or you can listen online, or you can wait till the podcast posts on Monday mornings.
Terrific.
Lots of ways to
get
questions.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
Thank you, and a reminder, you can find supplements that we personally curate for excellence and effectiveness at drhoffman.com. Just click on the shop button and you'll find a list of the supplements that we stock. And we also offer them at prices that are comparable to prices that you find anywhere else. So great supplements, great prices. And also you can feel good about helping to support this free resource, which will continue to be free for as long as we can. Thanks to you and our sponsors. Okay. Thank you, Layla, for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.